Okay, first I'd like to thank the organizers for the possibility to attend this very nice and instructive conference. I've been, I think, last time in Santa Barbara more than 15 years ago, so it's a nice opportunity. So I will explain what I mean by this reconstructing nonlinear encrypted signals. This presentation will be based on paper which is in the archive and just accepted to General Statistical Physics. So the model which I'd like to consider is, the following. The signals are just represented by real-valued n-component vectors, not binary, so they will be really continuous. This is important to have in mind, although I believe that some results may be generalized to binary, but I won't do this, and for me it's important that they're really continuous. Now, important parameter will be signal strength, which is just the norm of the vector, or square root of its length, divided by, normalized by the number of components. This is important parameter. And by encryption, I just mean a mapping from this source signal S to vector Y, which lives in M dimensions. And in general, I will consider encryption with redundancy such that dimension M is larger than dimension of the image after encryption is larger than that of the source vector. And basically, explicitly, it's just that component-wise, Ys are some functions depending on the k of the source vector for all k from 1 to m. And I will consider this mapping, which provides encryption, as provided by a set of random functions. And this is very important, but it's a particular realization of this this set of this ensemble of random functions, which I will specify later on. At the moment, it's completely general. This mapping, is precisely this encryption algorithm, and it's assumed that it's known, it's shared between the parties, so it's known both to the sender and to the recipients. Standard setting of imperfect communication channels that recipients get access not to really encrypted image, but rather to its corrupted corrupted form, modified by additive noise. One can, of course, introduce many other types of corruption, but it's just the simplest one, just additive noise, which is M-component vector of independent Gaussian distributed components with variance sigma. Natural parameter is noise to signal ratio. I know that people frequently, most frequently use signal to noise, but for me it will be more convenient. I prefer consider noise to signal. Increasing noise and asking what happens when noise increases. So this is just this variance divided and normalized to the signal strengths, R squared. I put here bare because we will see that actually when we apply this reconstruction, and the aim is to reconstruct as faithfully as possible signal S from the knowledge of corrupted image. And we will see that for the types of random functions I will employ for this as encryption. This becomes dressed as opposite to bare, dressed in the sense that it should be further scaled in order to provide correct parameters on which everything is dependent. Now, the reconstruction problem will be considered under a few technical assumptions. Some of them are crucial in order to apply the method that I'd like to use. Some of them are technical and can be relaxed, definitely. Nevertheless, I will assume the following features. I assume that recipient knows the strengths of the signal and therefore can restrict the signal search to the feasibility set given by the sphere, or so to all signals with a given strength. Now, important assumption that what set is set of these encryption algorithms. I will assume that it belongs to a class of smooth isotropic mean zero Gaussian random fields on the sphere, and is just such that they are independent for different components. So this delta function just tells us that for different components, this encryption is they are independent. As to the same component at two different values of argument, I assume that covariance depends only on the natural distance on the sphere, just on the angle between the vector of scalar product of the two normalized to n. I will use systematically angular brackets to denote expected values, just convenient. Although I will derive some formulas, I mean, original formulas for more or less arbitrary allowed function phi, nevertheless, complete analysis and really the results that I will like to discuss will be given to the following family, to the simplest family, which I mean, of this type, which I call natural linear quadratic, and explicitly they are constructed in the following way. There is a part which is linear in the argument, and this is provided, I mean, by just projections on independent random vectors, I mean, standard linear mapping. These AKs are independent and Gaussian distributed with given covariance. Most interesting part, I mean, linear mappings of this sort and reconstruction problems closely related to what I'm going to discuss, were discussed in the literature, but I believe, if not, please give me, I will be grateful for references, but I think that nonlinear mappings of this sort were not that much considered. And so what is this? I mean, the simplest nonlinear mapping is just adding quadratic part. And this quadratic form is built on so-called GOE type random matrices, symmetric matrices with up to symmetry independent entries, Gaussian distributed with prescribed covariance J2 and appropriately normalized with N. And then it's easy, I mean, simple calculation shows that this phi in this case is just sum of linear and quadratic term. And now it's also clear how to build a more or less arbitrary function of this sort. One should just add, I mean, cubic and higher degree polynomials. I mean, it's no, I mean, this class of function is known how to build. But I will just restrict all explicit examples and analysis to this case, and we will see that it's already quite non, I mean, relatively non-trivial.
What is the curly N?
Curly N. It's just normal variables. They are normally distributed, Gaussian distributed with mean zero and variance this and independent.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Please ask questions if some notations are non-canonical or not clear or whatever. Now, how we will try to reconstruct the signal? We will consider the simplest reconstruction scheme, which I, okay, first of all, the signal will be considered as fixed, just given vector, and then we employ the least square reconstruction scheme, which for a given set of observations, this is what recipient gets, and from it, it tries to get estimate for the input signal, as just minimizing loss function given in terms of, I mean, give a least square loss function, but over a feasible set of sphere of feasible input signals. This scheme has a meaning of so-called MAP estimator, maximal a posteriori estimator with uniform prior distribution over the sphere. The quality of the reconstruction, so just to compare our estimates with original signal S, we just project one to the other and normalize in a natural way. And this will be parameter between 0 and 1. So if it's 1, they are just, I mean, S and X, then necessarily, because they belong to the same sphere, just basically the same. And if it's 0, that means that we cannot extract any meaningful information about encrypted signal. So the goal of this will be, our goal will be for large n, for large, for n tending to infinity, in fact, evaluate this parameter as a function of noise to signal ratio for a given degree of redundancy. A redundancy parameter, parameter mu is a ratio of dimension of encrypted signal to original signal, encrypted image to original signal. And this will be always considered to be fixed and larger than one. And important for this class of mappings is nonlinearity parameter, which is just ratio up to this R square, a ratio of variances of linear and quadratic part in my encryption functions protocol. So let me just give you the result, main result of this procedure, and discuss its consequence. I give it for general nonlinear mapping of this sort that this general covariant structure phi. How one arrives to this, I will give if I have time. I will discuss very briefly in the end, but here is just the main result. So suppose we are given this source signal strength parameter R, redundancy is given, and then the mean value of this parameter Pn when n tends to infinity. So this limit, mean value, this remind you, these brackets stand for expected value. In the limit n to infinity, I call this p infinity, or later on I will just omit this infinity, will be just p. It's given by a ratio of two parameters. R is our strength and t is a parameter t, which belongs to interval 0, r. So this ratio is necessarily between 0 and 1 and should be found by optimizing, I deliberately avoid minimizing, but optimizing some functional, and I will discuss features of the functional in the moment. So this functional depends on three scalar parameters and one function. So the function is non-decreasing function in interval of its argument between r squared minus q. Q is second argument of this function. R squared minus q and r squared. So q is basically the width of the support of this function, of this non-decreasing function. Now, v and t are two scalar parameters. V is positive, non-negative, more precisely. And q is also positive, non-negative parameter, not exceeding r squared. In particular, if q is equal to 0, then we see that this interval non-trivial support of the function shrinks to just a point, and something very, it will be drastic simplification. And basically, for those in the know, it's basically, it's obtained as a zero temperature limit, I will discuss it, as of a Parisi scheme of full replica symmetry breaking. It also includes as a limiting case, the case of one-step replica symmetry breaking. So if this is this minimization gives appropriate just stepwise with one step, it can cover this, but we will see that it's never the case. Really, the full replica symmetry breaking happens, if it happens at all, and for this type. And this is valid, I mean, this explicit expression for this functional is given for any phi, so any nonlinearity phi. But to analyze it and to give nice results, I probably will specify maybe on the next slide or maybe just after that. Maybe next slide still will be very general. But then eventually I will specify to linear quadratic family. Now, we can study types of minimizer for that functional, and we will find the following. There is a certain range of parameters. When I write certain, it's known to me just that it was a bit complicated, although very explicit characterization for it. I have it. It's given by by standard Almeida-Tauless type stability analysis, and one finds that In some range of parameters, by parameters I mean redundancy and nonlinearity, the above variational problem is solved by simple ansatz, namely corresponding to parameter q equal 0, so the support shrinks to just a point, and therefore this is a so-called replica symmetric ansatz. In that case, our main object of interest, p, is a function of gamma for given encryption characterized by nonlinearity phi, is given by solution of a single algebraic equation written here. If you consider particular phi, just solve this equation. It's relatively, I mean, numerically, it's very simple. This is expected. What was a bit unexpected in positive sense for me, that one can, although one cannot solve explicitly explicitly minimization procedure for this type of functional in the case when q is non-zero, when really full replica symmetric ansatz should be used, one can use some bypasses, again for those in the know, related to so-called marginal stability condition, which allows to show after some manipulations that really parameter p still can be found explicitly, now satisfies system of two algebraic equations involving q. So it's system of two equations, one for p and one for q, and again, one should solve them, and it's relatively simple. Let us now analyze explicitly what happens for quadratic, linear quadratic family. So first, let us consider phase diagram, where really, I mean, so what is on this axis, we have redundancy, ratio of m to n, and on the horizontal axis, nonlinearity, ratio of variances of linear and nonlinear part. We find the following. Okay, as I mentioned, we always consider the case of redundancy larger than one. That's why the lower bound here is just one. It's trivial line. Non-trivial line is this boundary, which is explicitly given in terms of nonlinearity by explicit but non-trivial expression. And this really, the shaded region inside is such that we see what happens. If redundancy is very high, solution is always replica symmetric. If we, for a fixed value of nonlinearity, which is larger than one, if nonlinearity is smaller than one, if this ratio is smaller than one, then again, for every redundancy, solution is replica symmetric. However, if nonlinearity exceeds threshold one in this normalization, then we have such a wedge extending, in fact, to infinity. Here is just artificial bound at nonlinearity 20, but it extends to infinity. And inside this wedge, really, if the replica symmetric solution is unstable, and one should use a solution with broken replica symmetry. But it has also some interesting features even inside. Now, this is really our main object of interest. Reconstruction curve, really this projection of estimator to original signal versus noise to signal ratio. Here I specified for generic linear quadratic encryptions. What means generic? It means that neither variance of linear part nor the variance of quadratic part are zero. So both are present. And just the ratio is this control parameter A. Now, suppose that we fix A larger than 1, then the following happens. That there is always an interval of values of noise to signal ratio such that inside this interval, replica symmetry is broken, but outside it's preserved. So it means that if one starts just imposing small noise, really solution is relatively simple, it's replica symmetric. Then one increases noise, and there is a situation when it becomes interesting and complicated in the sense of replica symmetry breaking. But for strong enough noise, it's again simple. And one can really understand this because both in this region and in this region, one can construct perturbation theory here in small noise and here is inverse of noise. And one even can show by this perturbation theory that the tail is always dictated by linear part, and basically it's super universal. It's always decays like 1 over square root of gamma. So we see that reconstruction is formally always possible, although eventually p tends to 0 when noise tends to infinity, and it tends like 1 over square root of gamma, but it never vanishes. And this picture is generic in a sense that it's if linear part is present, picture will be like this. Now, what happens if, now let us systematically either increase nonlinearity, or better, in fact, it's more useful, decrease linearity. Just let us allow a variance of linear part tend to 0. Then this parameter A obviously tends to infinity. So the case of purely quadratic encryption is the case when A is equal to infinity, because J1 in the denominator here is just 0. So what happens with increasing A? With increasing A, first boundary, gamma is noise to signal ratio, AT stands to Almeida tauless. I mean, this is boundaries of breaking replica symmetry. This tends to finite limit, but this escapes to infinity. So we expect that purely quadratic mapping show really something different and maybe something interesting, and this is the subject of the next slide. For purely quadratic encryption, situation is more interesting and it's the following. In fact, this curve ends up, I mean, if we consider this reconstruction curve P versus gamma, now we, okay, since variance of linear part is now 0, we need to normalize now noise to signal relevant dressed noise to signal ratio is to normalize to appropriate combination of variance of nonlinear part and of signal strength. So now if we consider this parameter, and everything depends only on this combination, we see that there is a threshold beyond which P is 0. So in the case of pure quadratic encryption, there is a threshold beyond which reconstruction is impossible. And behavior of this curve close, now in this situation, there is only one boundary beyond which solution is replica symmetry broken, and there is no second boundary, in fact, only one. And interesting question is about singularity. What is the index of vanishing close to this threshold? It turns out that this index is non-trivial. It's 3/4. This curve vanishes as this difference to 3/4. And one wonders whether this feature is related to replica symmetry breaking, or it will be the same if we just consider continuation of incorrect, but nevertheless, just blindly continue solution which is with replica symmetry. It turns out that this is, if we consider this, then two things happen. First, this threshold is very different, it's earlier, but also singularity is different. It's pure square root here, it's simple, and to show that it's pure square root, but it gets modified to, and this is only due to full replica symmetry breaking. So these are really main results that I wanted to report for this model. And let us now, So then I have probably time very briefly discuss method. So the idea is to put it in context of statistical mechanics by considering this loss least square function, loss function, is basically energy associated with a vector of n soft spins which are with this spherical constraint. So basically, one can think of this as a version of what is known as spherical spin glass model. But it does not belong to the class of standard one. Why? Because for standard one, energy is always Gaussian variable. Here it's squared, sum of squared Gaussian variables. So this is really, I'm insisting on this because very general classes these days of Gaussian spherical models I investigated, but I believe that this is sort of new class related to this, and it has its own interesting features. My goal is to show that it's again, in replica formalism, it's again exactly solvable in some sense. So what one does, in fact, it's, I mean, in our previous talk, we've seen this ideology. One just basically writes Boltzmann-Gibbs probability measure on this sphere using partition function. And then in zero temperature limit beta to infinity, we know that expectation values should concentrate on global minimum. And that's what we do. We basically consider this projection of our original signal with our estimator. Consider two expectations. One is thermodynamic one, when we weight it with Boltzmann-Gibbs weights, and second is standard averaging over these encryption algorithms, which are given by these brackets. So eventually we evaluate double limit. We evaluate first the limit n to infinity and then beta to infinity limit, and we expect that this provides us with the left-hand side. And basically, the challenge is to calculate this disorder average. We know how to do. Well known, one should use a replica trick. So one uses the replica trick and replicates corresponding partition function from denominator to numerator by paying price, here considering parameter n being integer. And then nice feature that not that one can calculate really expectations of exponents. If it's Gaussian, this is we all know it's trivial. It's slightly less trivial that when it's squared Gaussian, there is explicit formula. Okay, I discovered it myself, but then I asked probabilists. Of course, they showed me. It's not that widely known, but it's known in probabilistic literature. Basically, a generalization of so-called chi-square distribution, multivariate chi-square distribution, and this is basically the formula. So one can calculate this explicitly, and then one sees that this one gets determinant of some matrix, n by n matrix, made of these covariances. And eventually, last important technical step to notice that this integrant now possesses a high degree of invariance. It's invariant with respect to all rotations which preserve axis along original signal, but otherwise they are just orthogonal rotations. And then one notices that one can rewrite this integral in terms of matrix of scalar products, which will eventually play the role of this, I mean, will be subject to this Parisian ansatz, but also of these projections of axis to original vector. So that's how one gets the results. And here is just the summary. So we defined an encryption as a random mapping, and we considered a shared between recipient and the sender. And we consider reconstruction based on least square scheme and map type of reconstruction. So we used the Parisi replica symmetry breaking to evaluate the mean overlap in the limit n to infinity. And it turns out that in the case of linear quadratic family, one can get quite explicit characterization of these reconstruction curves. And interestingly, that when nonlinearity exceeds a certain threshold, but redundancy is not yet too big, replica symmetry is necessarily broken. If encryption contains non-vanishing linear component, then for small and large noises, really one can apply perturbation theory, but for moderate, one needs to use the replica symmetry breaking scheme. And for purely quadratic nonlinearity, there exists a threshold value beyond which reconstruction is impossible, and vanishing of this curve close to threshold is controlled by replica symmetry breaking mechanism. Many open questions, just give a few. As I mentioned, the problem is equivalent to finding configuration of minimal energy in a certain version of spherical spin glass with squared Gaussian interaction. It would be interesting and instructive to, okay, I used, I mean, the standard physical way of doing this replica trick, but these days mathematicians know better ways of deriving corresponding type of functionals and analyzing their optimization for usual Gaussian case. I hope that it can be extended to squared Gaussian in this way. One can justify it rigorously, but also it would be interesting to study corresponding landscape beyond replicas, in particular complexity associated with stationary points in minima. So far, we managed to do it only for one tape of purely linear case. This is a work in progress with my PhD student, Rachel Tublin. We're hoping in maybe in a few months just to put this in the archive. But even for pure linear case, it gives some interesting results. But of course, this is simplest, if not even if not purely trivial, it's still simple case without replica symmetry breaking, for example. Would be interesting to study fluctuations in overlap and depths of global minimum, for example, in this model. We have some insights into this, and gradient surge dynamics or other types for this function will be interesting. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Jan.
So you analyze the map estimator for your model in a very kind of non-constructive way. So what about algorithms? Like, can you say, because in this type of models, I mean, it's very likely that you cannot reach that
algorithm. This is weakness of what of this, because I do not know. Okay, this is the same question as to usual spin glasses, how to be characterized by full replica symmetry breaking, whether one can do. I don't know. Maybe something of the sort. Maybe if studying these landscapes and understanding them, one can find some better ways of really reaching this. I don't know. It just gives this estimate, but it does not tell you how one finds them. It may be that really standard stochastic gradient descent or something, probably they are trapped again, and one needs to find something, maybe, as we heard. Mm-hmm. But this is, of course, important point, which I don't know. I don't know how to answer.
So I think that quite a lot can be said about the message passing algorithms in this kind of a setting, both for the map and also if you wanted to do like the bias optimal estimator where you would be computing
yes,
margins.
Yes, bias optimal, yes, I agree. It will be, yes, this will be fine at temperature. I mean, with temperature equal to noise, right. One can analyze. In fact, interestingly, zero temperature, in some sense it will be simpler in other because it's replica symmetric. In other sense, there is some nice structure associated with zero temperature limit as well. So this can be done, but then probably you are right, it will be easier to discuss real from algorithmic way of reaching them. But this is, yeah, this is open for me.
Mm-hmm. I was sure that Lenka... Yes. I was going to ask the same question, so I'm sorry. Otherwise, I wanted to ask the same question.
Okay.
Have you considered a case where the JK matrices are low rank?
This will be okay. This is I see that my method will work. This is related with so-called phase retrieval problem, and I think. Okay, I didn't do this, but a very short look at this shows that it seems that if it's rank one, it definitely works. If it's higher than rank one, probably it also works, but I did not really study it. But we can discuss, I will be interested in discussing this. But it was not yet done.
So we'd be happy to help you with the landscape. We just need a subroutine with the energy and the analytical first derivatives.
We'll be happy to discuss.
And all the Cambridge Energy Landscape software.
Yes, yes.
Second derivatives would be nice too, but not obligatory.
Great. So we can discuss that.
Yeah, what to do. Preferably. Mm.
Okay.
So actually, it's still about the algorithms. Mm-hmm. Do you have like an intuition on how it would look like the possibility of retrieve maybe from a Langevin algorithm as a function?
Langevin, of course, is a natural thing, and we hoped also to build. You see, but we know this for usual spherical spin glasses that in the phase when really even in the case when there is no replica symmetry breaking, this nice work of Letizia with David Dean, I mean, sure, there is some really slowing down and non-trivial aging and all that. This I already see that with my student, I mean, Rachel now looks at this, and this is basically one can repeat this also for this model. But in case when one has replica symmetry breaking, then this should be not very efficient. And then I don't know, then something else should be done. Other algorithms for which, unfortunately, I have very basic, if not absent, knowledge.
Are there other questions? Okay. If not, we just go to the lunchtime. Let me just remind you that there is this shuttle going to the hotel at 2 p.m. at variance with what was written in the program. And, well, good lunch to everyone. Thank you to everyone, to all the speakers of the morning.